You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Elisa.
It is that time, 418 of Geekiest Show Ever. What are you going to lay on me this week?
Well, as you know, I have just bought a new car, and I've talked about it in a previous episode, and I'm still just so much in love with this new car. I feel like I'm constantly learning something all the time. I love that about it. Just the other day, I went to a client's house and parked in their driveway, and their driveway is on an incline, and I went to shut the car off, and normally, like in an old stick shift, we always yank the emergency brake up because, I don't know, that's just what you do. And that was a habit I had to let go of because I don't do that anymore. But there is an emergency brake on my fancy new car. And for people just tuning in, it's a 2024 Kia Sportage, the hybrid version. And so it's all, it's not all electronic. It is fuel and electronic combined. So you'll hear me say EV when it's an EV mode. But it's just so electronic. Everything's a button to press, including the emergency brake. And so there's a button on the side of the steering wheel that you can press. Anyway, so I learned just the other day, I didn't know this existed, but when you park on an incline, it will automatically detect that and engage the parking brake for you. So I was like, oh, learned something new. So the other thing that I learned is today, she is ready with the sound effects. Wow. Guy would be so proud.
Not as good as Guy, but I'm trying.
Yeah, he's rubbing off on us, whether we like it or not. I'm sure he'd have a thing or two to say about that. So I thought for fun, what we would talk about today is navigation systems in CarPlay. So for those of you who have CarPlay now keep in mind, I'm a newbie to the CarPlay experience. I have been just all these many, many years, I've just been using my iPhone in a mount, and in many different mounts, actually. I've been evaluating so many mounts over the years because I swear that living in Arizona, I'm surprised that they don't send more things here to be tested because it just seems like it's such an extreme environment with the heat here that's why I've had to test so many different car mounts because the heat just destroys things. It just, you know, plastic, forget about it. It's like, it's not going to last. And so one of the things I was so excited about in getting a new vehicle, and that was honestly, I know this is, sounds kind of shallow, but honestly, it was one of my big top factors that was a deal breaker. It had to have CarPlay. I really wanted to have CarPlay because I drive a lot. I drive my kids around to different places, let alone school, but appointments. I drive a family member around for their appointments. And I also work. I freelance. And so I drive to different clients' homes. And I go all different kinds of places. I traverse all of Tucson. And then my husband and I really do, we haven't done it in a long time since the pandemic, but we do enjoy traveling together and we enjoy taking cross-country trips. And so we just really, really like to drive. I guess we're just farfignookin kind of people. it's the last time you heard that one. And so we enjoy driving and we have driven all kinds of different vehicles. I remember when we first got married, and we took that was like basically our honeymoon was moving me from Pennsylvania out to Arizona. And we caravaned and we had, and then I think we took a trip back in just this van that we borrowed from his parents and something malfunctioned in it. And I don't know, tell me if you've had these kinds of stories too. Like, have you ever had a car that just did something and you just had to put up with it? Cause you know, it's what you could afford. It's what was available to you at the time.
My 1970 Plymouth Fury that the carburetor always went out.
Oh, no. Would it just let leave you sit?
Oh, yeah. I'd be in the middle of the road and I'd be like lifting the hood and pushing the little, there was like a little flap in there and spraying carburetor spray or something into it just to get me to work.
Yep. I was driving. It wasn't mine. It was somebody I was borrowing. I had driven a large Buick Park Avenue. Are you familiar with what kind of car that is?
Oh, that's like a hearse.
It's huge. Yeah. Or a boat. It's very like very large steering wheel. You kind of like take a wide turn to get it, you know, not a very good turning radius. And that one, of course, again, and this was when I lived back east, but it would get hot and sticky and muggy. And of course, you had to have the air conditioning running. But this car had a quirk where if you just shut the engine off, and went about your business. When you come back, the car would either be dead or just it wouldn't start. So every time I shut it off, so when I was commuting back and forth to work, I'd have to lift up the hood. And you can imagine it's a very large hood. So you're like, you know, you got to hulk it, lift it up. And I just like you, like I have to go in and like disconnect this cable. I don't even know what it was, but I had to disconnect a cable because that's what we figured out. The boyfriend I was dating at the time, like he was like, that's what you do. I'm like, okay. And so I had to disconnect it and then I could go to work. And then when I came back, I had to reconnect it and then I could run the air conditioning. It had a window that fell down. Anyway, this is all just to say that all cars have their personalities. And so new cars are very much like that too. And they're all kind of, you know, cookie cutter. They're all the same except different because you can customize them. So that's what I've been having a lot of fun with, has been just learning about the features of my new car and customizing it. I don't know if we'll get to it in this episode. If we do, if not, fine. But I am going to work on putting together a list because I actually have a client who bought a very similar car that has a lot of, you know, similar specs. And so I promised her I'd make her a shopping list because she was like, oh, I want that. Oh, I want that. Like she really liked my steering wheel cover and my windshield shield and all this stuff. And so I plan on making a list of accoutrements of, you know, different little accessories and things that I've bought to either personalize or customize or, you know, somehow make the car just my own, really. I think a car is kind of a reflection of who you are and what you do. Just like with computers and technology, a lot of people are just agnostic. They're like, I don't care as long as it works. You know, it turns on, it does what I need to do. I can type up a letter and email it. I'm fine with it. I don't care about all of the bells and whistles. This episode is not for you. This episode is for people who do care about features and feature sets and details and, you know, how to customize or how to, you know, make choices between different apps that do different things. And so what I want to talk about today is going to be about navigation systems. Now, right off the bat, I will tell you, I saw, and I dismissed it right away. I do not care for Kia's onboard navigation system. Now, again, I mean, I'm a geek and I like to tinker with things. That's not to say that if I didn't have a smartphone or if I didn't, I don't know, I can't imagine why you wouldn't use your navigation system on your smartphone, but there are those people and that's okay. No judgment here. But let's just say, for example, if I didn't have something and I just wanted to use the built-in navigation system, is it a terrible navigation system? No, it's actually quite nice. You can talk to it. Of course, I liked that. It actually does give you this cool animation whenever you, so to my knowledge, you can't say like a trigger word. It's not like, hey, Kia, or something like that, although that'd be kind of cute. You have to press the little speak button on the steering wheel. You have to press it. Now, it's just a single press to get it to acknowledge your presence and let you speak. And there's this cool like animation that looks like purple bubblegum, kind of. Like it looks like bubbles, and it's kind of cool. So, I mean, I do like that feature. That's a nice touch. And so then you can speak to it. But of course, I don't know if I can even plan on learning the commands. It's just like, you know how in the world of Amazon, you've probably experienced this. Have you built any skills for any of your smart devices, your smart home stuff? I know you don't really talk to, you don't use the A-Lady that much, but
I mean, other than just turn on the lights or change the light from blue to red, but nothing, nothing.
Did you have to build a skill though? For it
no.
to do that?
No,
that
was, you basically, just in the app. It was basically in the app and within the app, like the Govee app, and you could just say, connect this to Amazon. And then as a result of doing that, all you have to do is just say, change the light to white, change the light to blue.
Okay. Yeah. So you don't have to learn, you know, like which, well, I mean, I guess with any kind of voice activated type of interface, if you will, you have to learn what commands it will accept. You know, so there is a bit of a learning curve as far as, I guess it would be, what would that be considered? Like we talk about, you know, with AI, it's a large language model, I think is what they call it. Anyway, so I haven't bothered to learn any of the commands or phrases. I haven't even really looked. I'm sure it's in the manual or it's somewhere where I can look up. Like you can say this and you can say that. And
you have to be specific.
Yes, exactly.
It has to be the exact phrase or it's not going to work.
And are you talking about with a car nav system or with
the
Alexa?
Car, yeah. Okay. Mine, okay. I have the same thing with the little button on the steering wheel where you can just push the button. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It just never works.
It's not as flexible.
The car nav,
Yeah, the car knobs are not as...
But it, I've noticed when I've looked on Google Maps to get me from point A to point B, and I'm like, ooh, I like this route, the car nav will give me a different route.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I noticed that a little bit too. Yeah, so I just don't find it as intuitive. It's just not as smart. It's like it's there for people who aren't going to use a smartphone, and you can use it. It's a utility, but yeah, I'm not too bothered by it. So that being said, I'm not going to discuss the built-in car nav system. What I'm going to focus on talking about today is just the three choices that I have come up with so far. There might be more, but these are the only three that I've evaluated, and this is all with CarPlay, is the Apple Maps and the Google Maps and Waze. Do you know of any other apps or services that we could entertain here? And your car doesn't have it, but your husband's car has CarPlay, and it has the navigation. Well, you can use apps with it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, do you pair your phone with it when you go on a trip together, or
no? We just use his. I program where we're going into his Google Maps.
Okay. And then it shows up on the on screen. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the other thing that, and again, this will be more along the lines of like my shopping list, if you will. I will mention on the outset, one of the things that, because it kind of pertains to this, one of the things that I did have to do right away was, because there's two of us driving the car, primarily it's mine, but my husband does use it quite a bit when we go shopping. I like to take a break, and plus, you know, he needs to drive it more so that he can get used to it. But switching the phones, and so do either of your cars have profiles that you can select from? I know you told me your husband's has the memory seat button, and that's really sweet.
Yeah. We can set up both our phones in both our cars and just choose.
And that's just through Bluetooth, I take it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you've got the difference between Bluetooth and then CarPlay. And Bluetooth is just, I mean, you could, you know, use S-Lady and stuff, and you can speak things to it. But then all that's doing really is just piping the audio that the phone would make through the speakers of the car. So that's different than CarPlay, obviously. CarPlay is then this whole, you know, interaction that you have with the car's onboard tablet, if you will. I guess it's part of the dash. You know, it's part of the navigation, everything. It's all part of the dash. That was one of the, and like I said in the beginning, when we were, you know, making a list of the things that we wanted in a new car, I mean, first of all, it had to be affordable. And so that really cut the competition down really quickly. But then, of course, I really did want it to have CarPlay. I just thought, why not? I don't want to have to drive a car. Like we have a Toyota that we inherited. And that one, you know, it has its own onboard operating system, if you will. I can't stand the fact that every time you turn the car on, the music comes on right away. Maybe we'll have to talk to Tim about that and see if there's a way to fix that. But I haven't seen it. I've dug and dug and dug, and I don't even know like if it has the ability to get any kind of software updates. It's a 2016, so it's not like super old, but it's not really new either.
So you're saying the radio doesn't turn off?
Right. As soon as you turn on the car, if there was, you know, if the radio was on, the radio is going to be on as soon as you turn on the car. And if you've had the volume up, it's like, you know, blasts, you know.
you sound like my husband. He gets into my car and he's like,
yeah,
I have it like loud.
Uh-huh. Yep. I am totally a Tom right now. I cannot stand that. I hate that feature. I'm like, I don't want to just press the pause button. I want to stab it. I want to stab it because I can't stand that it just blares it. So yeah, there is a feature in the Kia system where I could disable that right away. And I made sure to check for that first. I was like, I cannot stand that feature. When we did the test drive, I made sure that that wasn't going to happen because I would not have bought the car if it had done that and not been able to turn it off. That would have been a deal breaker. That would have been a huge deal breaker. Maybe it's a sensory thing. I just can't stand it. I want to get my car. I want it to be nice and quiet. I have to like, you know, kind of like get into the zone. I don't know. No, can't do that. I'm like you with the button that does the, what is it, the automatic shutting off. Like, nope, not today, not ever. So anyway, so one of the deal breakers was it had to have CarPlay. And then as I was looking over the different specs for the different trim levels, now this is what's strange. I sort of understand, or at least I know there is a reason why. So the difference between wired CarPlay and wireless CarPlay. Now, what does your husband's have? Is it wired or wireless?
Wired.
Okay. So if you have a large dash and if there is a navigation system, then you have to, maybe that's the difference. I'll have to go back and look at my notes. So for example, in the Kia lineup, there's the LX, the EX, and the SX in the hybrid, at least. I can't remember all of the acronyms and everything for the fuel-only version. But in the hybrid, there's LX, EX, and SX, or SX Prestige. And in the LX version, it ticks everybody off. In the LX, in the lowest trim possible, you get wireless CarPlay. But the screen size is a lot smaller. So I think there's a difference between an 8-inch display and a 12-inch display. And I mean, it's still CarPlay, right? It's still, you know, fine. It's a heck of a lot better than what I had before, which was just my tiny little iPhone screen in a car mount that I had to constantly change because it constantly melted all the time from the heat. But then, you know, when you look at it, it's like, it doesn't look as nice. It's kind of fragmented. Whereas the 12-inch screen is pretty glorious looking, I will say. When you look at that dash, it looks more like a cockpit. It's very seamless. The screen is like a little bit curved. I'll show you some pictures then. It's really lovely. And it doesn't look like in the Toyotas, I noticed, like we looked at the RAV4. And so many of those models of car, to me, it looks like somebody just, and even the Teslas, it looks like somebody just took an iPad and they just plopped it on there with like no real thought about the design and the form and the function. And that just peeves me. I can't stand when things aren't, they don't seem like they're thought out. It just seems like it's just a tablet just stuck on there and you get what you get, you know, pitch a fit. Whereas with this, it looks like it's truly integrated into the cockpit, into the design of the vehicle. And that's what I really, really appreciate about the details that went into the designing this thing. I also looked at the Hyundai Tucson, and I see a lot of them around here. And I don't know if it's just because we live in Tucson, which is kind of like, those are beautiful cars too. I really like the design of them. They're very, very, very similar. But the Hyundai Tucson, the design of the navigation and everything is like straight in the center. It's like in the very, very middle. And in some of the reviews and watching people utilize it, I was like, I don't know if I like the idea of like kind of reaching over or having to kind of like, you know, angle my body to kind of like interact with it. It just, I don't know.
It sounds like they were making it accessible for the passenger as well as when the focus should have been on the driver.
On the driver, exactly. Now, I will say in the Kia and the Sportage here, it does, for me, my personal opinion is that it seems to be a good compromise, a good meld of both the driver and the passenger. It is primarily focused on the driver, which I agree should be the focus, but there's also things that the passenger can do. So for example, one of the things that my oldest loves to do is play DJ. So whenever they get in the car, they pair their, now, like going back to the profiles, there's three profiles. There's Nate and I have our own profiles, and then there's a guest, which is kind of nice. Like if somebody's going to borrow your car, they can sign into the guest. But I haven't experimented with it, and my kiddo says that they don't think it allows them to like save their phone pairing. So I don't quite understand how that would work. I think the profile is only for the onboard stuff. I don't think it has anything to do with pairing your phone or the CarPlay or anything like that. So we haven't used the profile for the guest yet. Whenever the passenger is in, or even kiddos in the back seat, you know, wherever, they can scan a very large QR code that will show on the screen. They can scan it with their iPhone, and then they can play the music of their choice. And the kids can take turns. And so that's a pretty cool feature. We use that all the time on the way to school and on the way home from school. So that's pretty cool. Then I really like that feature because I know a while ago we were talking about different music services and stuff. And one of the things that I had said when we were evaluating whether or not we should get Apple Music was we really wanted to have Apple Music because we wanted to learn what our kids like, you know, and that was our way of like discovering new songs. And so letting the kids play DJ is really, really cool because then, you know, they play their music and we can get a taste of what they like. So that's another nice feature that's involved in CarPlay that I really like. And so back to the pairing thing that I was going to say is that the wired versus wireless. So in my car, even though it's the upper trim, it's the middle trim, you don't get wireless CarPlay. You have to plug in a cable. And like, you know, you think, oh my God, Melissa, like such first world problems, you poor thing. I know. It does sound like I'm kind of whining. But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, this is all about when you're spending so much money on a car, it's all about comfort and accessibility and efficiency and things like that. And I do find it a heck of a lot more efficient to just lay the card on the phone on the charge mat than trying to like dig the cable out and plug it in. So, but I will say summer is coming. And that's going to be something else that I'm going to be thinking about, because I did notice that with wireless charging, your phone does heat up a lot. Did you notice that with your, you got some, how are your Qi chargers doing? The ones that you've gotten around Black Friday, you got a couple different kinds and some travel ones. Are they still going strong?
Yeah, the travel one I only use when I travel. The one next to my bed, I noticed that the my watch is warm, but it's not. It's not burning my arm when I put it on.
Not too hot to the touch. Just yesterday, because it's starting to get hotter here, we're starting to get into the mid-90s during parts of the day. And I did notice that when I went to take it out the one day, I was like, ooh, that really feels hot. Like, not hot enough that I dropped it, but hot enough that I was like, ooh, that's really hot. Like, is that going to hurt the phone kind of hot? And so that's going to be a consideration. And that's what I'm going to be comparing, because I believe, and from experience too, when you plug the phone in, it doesn't get nearly as hot as it does when you have it on the Qi charge mat. And it does say Qi in the console. So in my particular model, there's a drawer. And I've tried it both with the drawer. You know, there's a little push drawer. It's a nice feature. You just push it and it stays open, or you pull it forward and then it closes. And so that's really for, you know, distracted driving. I mean, it really is nice that I can just lay my phone in there. It charges wirelessly. And because I added something on, it now connects wirelessly to CarPlay. And I'll talk about that in a second. But back to the drawer, I was thinking, well, you know, it looks like, if you look at it, it looks like there's fans built in there. I was thinking, like, there should be cooling going on here. I mean, maybe I might have to ask the dealership about that. I don't know. But I would think that there would be some kind of a fan running that would keep the phone cooler as it's charging, because that's what it looks to me like would be the purpose of the vents. But evidently not, because when I've taken the phone out, it's like a hot potato, and it doesn't seem to matter if I have the drawer open or the drawer closed. So that's something I'm watching out very carefully. And then I'm going to also try it, you know, drawer open, drawer closed, and have it plugged in. But for the time being, I'm still trying to grok this whole wireless thing. So what I got is a gizmo called an AutoCast. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Another nice thing about getting a new car, I told you before in the other episode that I had joined forums as I was researching, and the forums that I'm referring to are r/Kia on Reddit, and then on Facebook, there's a couple of them. They're named very similarly, so I don't remember the exact name, but there's a Kia Sportage Facebook page, or maybe it's a group. Maybe it's a group. I don't think it's a page. I think it's a group. And that one is nicer, because that one I really like. I'm like already a top contributor now, because I'm always like welcoming people. You know me. I mean, that's not a huge surprise. I'm like, you know, somebody will say, hey, just got my new car. And like, they'll have a picture with themselves by the car. And so lots of people are trading advice and everything. I really like that forum because it is very welcoming. There is no like, you should have bought a Toyota or you should have bought a Honda BS going on. In fact, I think that they clearly state that in the admin rules. There will be none of that. So
yeah,
it's a nice place to congregate there. And so when people are complaining about something, it's usually like a, you know, hey, this is happening, should this like what's going on, like how do I fix this? And so I really appreciate that, people sharing the knowledge. And so that's a really great place to be. So whatever car you're looking at, if you're listening to this and evaluating things, I definitely recommend going into forums with the mindset knowing that some of them are going to be echo chambers, some of them are going to have trolls, and then there's one or two that'll be like nice, where people are just sharing information. So you just have to kind of be picky and choosy about that sort of thing. And so that's where I found out about the AutoCast, because I was like, hey, I know this is a first world problem here, but what's the deal? Like, I knew that it didn't have wireless charging. I knew that it had to be a wire, but what I didn't understand and I didn't like is, and I know this seems like very insignificant, but I'll tell you why to me it's significant. When you plug the phone in, you have to use USB-A. You cannot use USB-C. Okay, so you're picturing USB-A, and it's that rectangle, right? Mm-hmm. versus USB-C, the nice little tiny thing that you, it doesn't matter which way you plug it in. So the rear seats have USB-C ports in the sides of them. That was another feature I think that they added. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they added that in 2024, whereas I think it might have been USB-A the year or two before. Anyway, so the rear seats have USB-C. There is a USB-C port in the front for the passenger to charge their phone. But as the driver or whoever's, you know, it'll be mostly the driver, but for the driver who wants to use their device with CarPlay, you've got to go old school and use USB-A. So I'm like, wait, you mean to tell me, and I just bought an iPhone 15 Pro. I know I sound like a total princess when I say this, but I'm still going to say it. You mean to tell me that I bought a brand new iPhone 15 Pro and I got to go out and buy another cable just to connect it to my car? Like, as if.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I know. Ugh. It's so frustrating. So I know, first world problem, totally. But it did, you know, it presented a bit of a challenge because I'm like, well, now I got to go find some kind of like knockoff charge cable that's going to be USB-A on one end and USB-C on the other. And I actually did have one, and it was version 3.0, and I used it and it worked. It was fine. When we did the test drive, that's where I found out that, because when I was looking at the pictures and reading up on it and stuff, I heard that, yeah, it's wired, but nobody really mentioned that you have to use the USB-A port. And I just thought, oh, you know, no big deal. I have my USB-C cable right here. And so when we went on the test drive, that was the first thing I wanted to try. Well, not maybe the first thing. Okay, yeah, it was like really the first thing because I'm such a nerd. I had the USB-C cable in my purse ready to go. I plugged it in, connected my phone, and even the salesman didn't know that either. And I was like, why isn't it working? And he's like, oh yeah, you probably have to use this port. And I was like, are you kidding me? And of course I didn't bring that cable. I always have freaking cables with me. And that one time I didn't have that cable. I was so frustrated. Anyway, so yeah, there is a, is it 120? I want to say 120 volt. It's the cigarette lighter that shall not be called a cigarette lighter anymore. I guess it's the auxiliary port now. But you know, you and I are old enough to call it the cigarette lighter.
No, it's 12 volt.
12 volt. Okay, I just had to drop the zeros. A 12 yeah. volt. Yeah, that makes more sense. 120 would be a lot. That would be really cool. You could go camping with that. Anyway, so it's got a 12 volt, and it's got, so that's the first port. Then next to that is USB-A, and the next to that is USB-C. In the back of the car, on the left-hand side, on the driver's side, all the way in the cargo area, there's another 12-volt. So I immediately plugged in a Belkin one that kind of like sits flush with it. So I plugged in one of those that has two USB-A ports on it, and I had one of those long USB cables, so I strung that up through the back into the middle seat, you know, just because I could. So now the kids if they want to bring a friend, now when there's three people sitting back there, everybody can charge their phones because there's a port and a cable for everybody's phones. And then, of course, I have, you know, different endings depending on if you need lightning versus USB-C. So back to the wired versus wireless. So I tried it for like a week and I'm like, this is just ridiculous. I hate having to like switch cables out. And I mean, I left it plugged in, but then it was taking up so much room inside the drawer. Like I could never really like lay the phone in there, and you know, it was just getting messy. So I ended up getting the AutoCast. I looked in the forum and on Facebook, and there was a couple that they mentioned, but I read the reviews, of course. And so that's why I chose this one. It is a little square. It's like, I will say it's probably like about the size of the, like smaller than the palm of your hand. And then it has a cable. It's a dongle basically that hangs out. What I did was I put some Velcro on the back of it and I stuck it to the inside, kind of like where your knee is, but it doesn't touch my knee. And I actually made sure that it doesn't touch my husband's knee either because I was afraid he'd like, you know, knock it off or unplug it or something. So that's set up and that's working. But it's really a pain to switch drivers. So when you get in, you choose your profile in the nav system, and I suppose that it probably saves like your favorite places, your, you know, destinations and things like that. And so the nav system profile is one thing, but it saves your setup and your preferences and everything. So it's important to select your profile, but then when you want to switch drivers for who's going to connect to CarPlay, Like, I have to basically turn my Wi-Fi off on my phone, unplug the AutoCast, let my husband connect, you know, plug it back in, let my husband connect to it. And then once he's all connected, then I can turn my Wi-Fi on, because it's something about how it chooses the Wi-Fi network ID preference. I guess the order of sequence, like it is, one of them takes precedence over the other. So there's that. That's kind of a gotcha. That's been frustrating, but we're working out the kinks. So anyway, so now we've kind of figured out how to connect our phones. We're using CarPlay. We're exploring all that stuff. We're working out the music, the podcast, and everything. Now it's time to start using the maps. And remember, last time we were talking about, so you use Google Maps in your with your CarPlay. Or like, well, what do you do for your car that doesn't have CarPlay? Do you just use your phone and a mount?
Usually if we're in my car and we need maps, Tom's driving. Mm-hmm. And I just use my phone and tell him where to go. The problem is with my car, my phone is on Bluetooth with my car. Mm-hmm. So when I'm using Google with directions, it will not vocalize.
Oh, no.
So I have to turn off Bluetooth on my phone so that it doesn't go to the car, and then it will talk.
Oh, weird. Yeah.
So that's on weird. The rare times that I need Google Maps when I'm driving by myself, I'll just turn off Bluetooth. But like I said, 99% of the time we're together. So mm-hmm. I just have my phone and I say, okay, next red light, make a left.
Mm-hmm. Do you navigate, like, do you tell him or do you just let it say, do you let it speak the voice to him? Oh, really?
I tell him. Okay. Well, also because
you're co-pilot.
Also because he's hearing impaired.
Yeah.
Okay. So he won't hear it. So mm-hmm. I have to say to him, make a left at the next light, then go down three blocks and make a right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah, I've done that on occasion, especially like in the Toyota. There's been times where we couldn't figure out how to get the voice to talk. And that, yeah, it's very similar. There's all these like, it's hard
to explain. Where his CarPlay will work. When we do something in his CarPlay, Google will stop and say, okay, make a right at the tree. And, you know, mm-hmm. over at the when you see the next church, make a left. And
what model is his car?
2022 Chrysler 300.
Okay. And it's a sedan or?
Mm-hmm. Four-door sedan.
Yeah. And that could be like why there's different features and stuff, you know, vacation family cars versus like singular use cars and stuff. I'm sure they think about those things. So, yeah, I mean, we've kind of gotten over the hump with most of that stuff. So today when I went grocery shopping, I decided to evaluate the different kinds of map systems. And so, again, like I said in the beginning, I'm comparing Apple Maps versus Google Maps versus Waze. And we talked about a couple episodes ago that I was using Apple Maps and I was very underwhelmed because I didn't like the idea that I'm used to seeing what I'm seeing on my phone where I can see several turns ahead, whereas this just gives you just the next turn and that's it. Like you're driving and it says turn right. So while I was driving, and this is another thing that I discovered, did you know that you can ask S-Lady to take a screenshot of your CarPlay screen while you're driving? I just guessed, like I just thought, wouldn't it be nice? Because as I was like thinking about this, I thought, now how am I going to document this for you when I want to talk to you about it? And so I thought, well, I wonder if it does that. And so as I was driving, I didn't look at my phone the whole time. I just kept saying, hey, S-Lady, take a screenshot. Or a screenshot. I think I could just say either take a screenshot or screenshot and it would do it. And I would hear it make the little camera noise. And it actually wasn't coming from the phone speaker. It was coming from, there's like a speaker to the left that's closer to the driver's ear. So or I guess maybe it's probably coming from the speaker on my door, I think. But I would hear it go, ch-ch-ch. Like I could tell that it was taking screenshot each time. And so I thought, wow, that's really cool. But the thing is, I was just going on blind faith here because I wasn't sure where it was saving the screenshots to and if it was even taking a screenshot of the actual CarPlay. I just assumed that it did because of where the sound came out. And so luckily, my assumption was correct. I took like 40 screenshots and I thought this is going to be a total bust if it's just taking pictures of the phone screen and not what I'm seeing on CarPlay. So it did. So you can ask S-Lady, take a screenshot. It'll take a screenshot of what you see on your CarPlay dash. Now that could be really important. I just thought of this now, like, because I also have a dash cam that I hate right now that I want to replace, but nonetheless, I have a dash cam. So let's say you do get into an accident, or let's say you witness an accident. If you're right there and it shows you where you are on the map, you can, you know, either zoom in or just, you know, if you think about it right away, just say, hey, S-Lady, take a screenshot. And then that way you'll have your dash cam footage, plus you'll have the screenshot of where you were at that point in time on the map. And you'll have it also timestamped when you take the screenshot. So that could be really, really important for documenting stuff. So isn't that cool? So what I did is I started out with it looks like I started with Apple Maps. I'm trying to look to see if I now recognize what the difference is. Actually, I sent you all these screenshots. So if we're going to look at them like in order, I did start out with Google Maps because that's the one that's highlighted on the left-hand side. And so I'll share some of these screenshots. I'm going to verbally describe the features that I have that I'm showcasing in the particular screenshot. I'm not going to include all of them, of course, but I'll include like the ones that I think are the most relevant. And so just real quickly to kind of go over the differences, Google Maps is really nice because remember last time we talked about this, you're like, oh, you got to try Google Maps. I did. And like I said, I just went right back to Apple Maps because Google Maps wasn't all that much different than Apple Maps. One of the things that I did like, it shows you and I don't see this on any of my Apple Maps screenshots, but correct me if I'm wrong. I think that this is one good difference. Let's see. No, that might be... No, I guess it does. Okay, so it's not on every place, but if you look through some of the pictures, you'll notice that these three components are similar between all three. They all show you what the current speed limit is where you're driving. And it doesn't always show it. I think it's only showing it on certain screens as you're navigating. And it also could be that maybe in the cartography database or whatever, they just don't have the speed limit shown for that particular area. I'm not exactly sure why, but it's not on every single screen. But for the most part, as you're driving to a destination, you can see what the posted speed limit is. And it will give you on both of them. So I'm going to compare Google Maps to Apple Maps because they are very similar. And then I'll talk about Waze separately because that's a whole different thing, which is a good thing. So they do give you turn-by-turn directions, but again, both of them, I was hoping that Google Maps would have a little bit different feature set. I was hoping that I could tap on that and see like, okay, what's the next turn after that? Because I want to know which lane to get in. So Google Maps did disappoint in that arena. Now, they both show you traffic. In other words, like where... it's yellow, like if it's blue or green, you know, you're clear. If it's, of course, red, there's a stoppage. If it's yellow, you know, you can see ahead of you like where the traffic is going to slow up. And they both showcase that. But Google's is a little bit more obvious as far as the colors are concerned. They definitely look very, very similar. I can't say a whole lot about like, you know, the rivers look the same. The bodies of water look kind of the same. They both feature a place where you can tap in the lower corner, right? You know, it shows you the arrival time, it shows you how long it will take, how many miles of your commute, you know, cause I said, basically take me to Sam's Club. So, when I was driving, I was going to Sam's Club. And then when I evaluated Waze, I was going back home. So it shows you in Apple Maps, it shows you whether or not the store is open, the percentage rating, the address, the estimated time of arrival, whether or not you're on the fastest route. And then there's also a phone icon so you could call them. So that's, you know, the same kind of stuff that's built into your phone maps, but then it shows you on the CarPlay as well. And then there's a place where you can tap, where you can add a stop, share an ETA, or report, you know, say an accident or a pothole or something, or you can end the route. I was hoping that that would show me more, but it doesn't on either one of them. It's pretty much the same. So as far as Google versus Apple, Apple won, and I'm going to tell you why. Because like I said, one of the biggest things that I was looking for was turn-by-turn instructions, but give me the next turn or two, right? I want to know up ahead, like, you know, where I'm going to have to turn. I want to know which lane to get into. And neither one of them showed me that feature. Now, again, if somebody... says, well, Melissa, you got to look here, dummy. You know, that's fine. I mean, tell me. But I poked at everything that I could think of to try to have it show me. And the only place, surprisingly or not, where I saw it was on my Apple Watch. And for that reason, that is why Apple Maps wins right now, because so another thing that I do too is there's a calendar app. It's just the stock Apple calendar app on CarPlay. And a lot of times, especially for when I'm going to a client or a doctor's appointment, when I schedule that event, I always put the location where I'm going, because then when I get in the car, now prior to having CarPlay, because I was using my phone, I prefer to use the Riattle Calendars 5 app. And I would just tap on the event, and then I would tap the location, and immediately would bring up Apple Maps. It will also give you either Google Maps or Waze or Apple, depending on how you have it set in your settings. I have it set to show me Apple Maps because that's just what I've been using, but I could use the other two. Anyway, the point is that I create an event, I put in the location, I tap the location, and immediately takes me right to the map of my choice and starts giving me turn-by-turn instructions. Well, what's nice about CarPlay is it does the same thing, only with just the stock calendar app, which, you know, would on your iPhone too. But I like that feature a lot, because I go to my event, my house call appointment, I tap on the event, and I immediately tap the arrow and say, okay, give me turn-by-turn instructions. I start driving, and I just do what the voices tell me to do. So that's a really great feature. And then because I am using Apple Maps on my Apple Watch, it shows it's like synchronized with it. There's a tiny bit of delay sometimes, but for the most part, it's pretty synchronized. And so on my Apple Watch, and you can see in the screenshots there, it does show me the steps ahead. It does show me which lane to get into, which direction I'm going to be turning. And it shows me like the next two turns. And so I really like that. Now, I did try looking at it while I was using Google Maps, and I opened up the Google Maps on my iPhone, but it could have been that maybe something wasn't working correctly. And I forget if I took a screenshot. Doesn't look like I did. So I'll have to find out what that was. All I know is I was like, oh, that's a bummer. I can't use the Google Maps app on my watch simultaneously while I'm using CarPlay for it to show me the next steps. So that's why Google Maps lost out, was basically because of the Apple Watch synchronization. Now, again, so let me move on to Waze. I didn't try I don't even know, is there a Waze app on the Apple Watch? Because I didn't even bother to look, because I didn't need to, and I'll tell you why. And nope, there is no Waze app that I can see on my Apple Watch. But I didn't need it, because Waze is far superior than the other two. Waze has a lot more features. Some of them are silly and fun, and I really like that. There is you can customize the voice, and you can customize, like, I guess, like the theme of it or something. And you can customize, instead of just seeing an arrow, you can see your car. Have you ever used Waze, Elisa?
Not for navigation, more for coming home from Boston Red Sox games. Mm-hmm. We always seem to run into traffic, and Waze seems to do a better job of letting me know where the traffic is.
Yes, I have. A long time ago, we used it on a cross-country road trip, and it did save our bacon, because it circumvented the whole accident and, like, got us to where we needed to go on time. So I really liked it for that reason. Then I don't know why I stopped using it. I just didn't have a need for it. So now I'm evaluating it again. And so it has all these features, these customizations. The only thing I'm not too wild about, and correct me if I'm wrong, do you happen to know, did Google purchase Waze? Is it a Google company? Do you know anything about its data collection practices or anything? Because that's the next thing if I'm going to commit to using Waze full time, then I want to know more about the privacy. Of course, I clicked accept terms and go, because come on, who doesn't? So I'll go back and I'll reread that stuff and really nitpick through the...
It still shows as Waze. Let me see. Mm-hmm.
I thought that for a while that they were going to fold Waze into Google Maps. I thought they were going to take all of the cool technology that's included in Waze and somehow fold it into Google. But I don't know if that just didn't go through or what. The other thing that Apple Maps has over Google Maps, I just scrolled back through and saw this, and maybe it's there again. It wasn't intuitive enough for me to find it, and I consider myself to be a pretty intuitive person, there's a favorites section in Apple Maps. So if there are places that I frequent, and just so you know, like, I know how to get around, but I prefer to use turn-by-turn instructions because it's an accommodation I give myself with ADHD. I still like to have a voice, like, kind of coaching me and telling me where to go, because sometimes I lose track of time, and I mean, I know you just can't imagine that happening, but it does.
To interrupt you for a second, it looks like Waze is part of Google.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going to have to think a little bit harder and longer about that, because one of the other reasons why I would rather not use Google is just because of their privacy practices and the things that they collect on you. I'm not a total tinfoil hat wearer, but I do like my privacy. And because I'm traveling to people's homes, I want to preserve their privacy as well. So that's going to be something I'm going to really be thinking about and looking into. Maybe it's not a big deal. Maybe it's total nothing burger. We'll see. But yeah, Waze is definitely very, very cool. But Apple Maps at least did have this cool feature called Favorites. And so even though I know how to get to the kids' school, even though I know how to get places, a lot of times I will be out somewhere that I don't know where how to navigate back to. And having that Favorites menu is really handy, because I can be like, okay, if I want to try to fit this other task in or this other errand, how long is it going to take me to get back to the kids' school, or, you know, something like that. So that is really, really handy. It also gives you a history of destinations that you've either looked up or traveled to. So I liked that feature. I did not see that in the Google Maps. So far, you know, if you're keeping score, Apple just has more features. They don't have a whole lot compared to the phone experience, but they do seem to have more features than Google Maps. That could be by design. That could be something that Apple controls. It could be an oversight in Google. I don't know, but
you're saying you don't see recents in Google Maps?
Not in the CarPlay.
Okay, because I'm looking at it right on my phone. I mean, I count on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And see, that's what was bothering me, is there are things that I count on, like the turn-by-turn instructions. Yes, it gives you turn-by-turn instructions. That's the whole premise of it. But it doesn't give me enough of them. I like having more turn-by-turn instructions in a list. And that was the one big deal breaker that bothered me so much. Just like you rely upon that list of, was it favorites or recent places?
Recent. It's called recent.
I did not see that feature in the CarPlay version. And that's why I told you in the beginning, like, I was really underwhelmed, because it does seem like CarPlay is such a very, very watered down version, where I had thought, because it was described as phone projection, I really thought that it was going to be a mirroring type of experience. I thought it was going to mirror exactly what I saw on the iPhone, but just in a car dashboard friendly layout. And so what I didn't understand was that CarPlay is a stripped down version of iOS. And I mean, it's not its own, like, there isn't, to my knowledge, there's not a car OS, there's not a CarPlay OS. It's still iOS, but it's projected, and it's not its own operating system that I can tell. I don't think it is, because, I mean, that would be out there. So it's somehow taking specific, very, very specific features of iOS, projecting it into a dashboard environment. But, like, for example, there's no Find My app in CarPlay. And you can minus and add different apps. Like, for example, when I first was swiping through the screens, I was like, why would you want a Zoom app or a WebEx app in CarPlay? I mean, people do it. You shouldn't, but people do Zoom calls while they're driving. So I guess maybe that's why. I'm really kind of surprised that's allowed. And I think that's the other reason too, that it's incredibly stripped down or watered down or simplified, if you will, because of the balance of what you should be doing while you're driving versus what is just you shouldn't be doing. Like, in other words, there's not a YouTube app. I thought that there might have been, but no, there's not, at least not in my car anyway. There's not a crossover of a YouTube app. In fact, if you look at one of the screenshots on my second or my third page, you can see settings, Google Maps, Libby. So Libby is a book reading app. Well, you're not supposed to be reading a book while you're driving a car, but it has audiobooks. Right. So for that reason, there's a book, there's NPR, there's Downcast, there's other podcast apps, there's WhatsApp. I don't really use WhatsApp that much. And so, you know, I guess if somebody, one time I did get a call through WhatsApp. So, you know, for people who use, who rely upon WhatsApp for conversations overseas, that's going to be really important. But yeah, so there's just a very limited set of apps that correspond between your phone and CarPlay. And they just, they have to be eligible for CarPlay, I guess, or compatible. So there's, you can report an incident in both of them. So that's pretty much it. I mean, they're very, very similar. To me, it just seems like Apple has more. And then you add on the Apple Watch. And for me, it's a much more comfortable, more pleasurable experience driving because now I have those turn-by-turn. I solved the problem with my Apple Watch by just having, you know, making sure that Maps is running simultaneously on my watch. And now I can just glance at my watch, you know, my hands on the steering wheel. I don't have to take my eyes off the road, really. And I can glance and see what my next turn is going to be. So that solved the problem for me. Then I decided to, on the way home, I decided, well, let's poke around at Waze and let's see what that gives us. And then immediately, you know, I sat there in the parking lot and I started like going through the settings. And that's when I noticed that you could have like, I don't know if I'm using the right word, some kind of a theme or a different voice. And I thought that was pretty funny. So it's nice to have different voices. That's actually really, really cool. I do like that. I chose the Capricorn theme. And it starts out by saying something like, you know, you don't really need, you know, instructions, but, you know, something, something. It had something very Capricorn-esque, like something to do with your Capricorn personality. So, and it just, the voice was funny. It was like this, like humorous, condescending type of a tone. It was like, okay, you got to turn left, but I know you already know that.
Oh, kind of like Carrot yeah. Weather.
Yes, yes. I haven't personally used Carrot Weather, but I've seen lots of screenshots from it because it's just funny. And I can imagine people taking screenshots for this. Although it's more of an audio, it's more, you experience the funniness through audio, not really visual. There's not really something silly to look at that's visual. I don't understand quite yet the whole purpose of having the little avatars. They kind of like pop up on your screen and it kind of reminds me of like hunting for Pokemon. And I've tried tapping on them, but they don't do anything. So I don't quite get that. That just seems a little silly to me.
I always thought that those were representing the people that are commenting, like letting you know that there's a police car 3 miles ahead or that there's a construction site 2 miles away.
Yeah, that could very well be. And it, you know, the time that I was using this was earlier in the morning, and so there weren't a whole lot of people on the road. So could be that if I tried this during rush hour traffic, I'd see a lot more.
Because I think if you click on them, it might say user ABC member for 3 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did see that section. Of course, I turned that off right away because I thought that was a little bit creepy. I don't know. It might be fun. I mean, I don't want to turn it on unless I'm sure that it's not giving out my location or showing you where I live and that sort of stuff. That's why I turned it off right away until I learn more about it. The other cool thing. So let's see. I didn't notice this. I think that this feature probably shows up in both of them. But if you look at one of them, you can see in the lower left-hand corner, there's two rows of squares. That just means, you know, that's how you get back to the home screen, basically. And then above that, you'll see a bell with a little vibration kind of illustration next to it. And that indicates that I do have, I guess, notifications turned on. So like if you text me, it reads me what the text does. So that's what that means. But then when my focus mode turned on, I noticed that when I went into focus mode, it now has the tiny little personal focus mode next to the bell. So I thought that was interesting. But I only see that in the Waze screenshots. It could be that that's just when it turned on. So I'll have to look for that next time. I think that is probably independent of the apps. And so the first couple things that I noticed when I opened up Waze was that it's a very, well, first of all, the route is purple. So, of course, you know, I'm like, okay, it's got nicer colors. The first feature that I think that stood out to me the most was the speed limit. It actually tells you, it's not super, super accurate. Like there's a little bit of a delay, but it actually tells you if you're speeding. And of course, you know, I was because I have a lead foot. But like in this one screenshot, for example, it says that the speed limit is 35 and then I'm going 40 and the 40 is like, you know, bigger in a circle. It's red. because I'm speeding. But then, you know, when I slowed down, then it showed me that I was only going 30 miles an hour and then I was going under the speed limit. So that's kind of cool. I mean, it lets you know, you know, especially if you've gotten a ticket or you have points on your license or something, you know, that's going to be really important. And so, yeah, you can pick out what icon you want for your vehicle instead of just an arrow. What else? I liked the idea of being able to customize the voice. It gives you pretty much the same kind of stuff. You know, in the lower left corner, it shows you your arrival time, how long it's going to take, the mileage, the ETA, and it tells you what the next turn is. But Waze does have, and if you notice on one of the screenshots, it does, like I came across an area where I was driving where there are four lanes. The far left was the turning lane to go left. The far right was the turning lane to go right. And then there was two lanes in the middle. And it did highlight which lane I need to be in and which direction I'm going to be turning. So that I really, really appreciated. So it did pop that up, you know, with enough time that if I had been too far over, I could have gotten over. You know what I mean? So that was definitely a yes. You know, this is a really great feature. I wish that the other ones would adopt that. That's what I'm talking about. Like, I want to know which lane to be in. I want to know which way I'm going to be turning and when it's going to happen. And don't tell me at the very last minute, darn it. The other thing that Waze has that I did not see in the other two, and I looked, was the ability to change routes. Now, what prompted me to look at this, though, was as I was coming home, I always go home the same way. There is another way to get to my house, but you have to go like all the way around. And the only time you would ever do that is if there's an accident or construction or something blocking off the main vein. And Waze wanted me to go that way. And I could not for the life of me understand why it was telling me to do that, because there wasn't any construction, there wasn't any red, there wasn't anything going on. I can't understand why it wanted me to go out and around and take the long way. So that prompted me to say, well, oh, here's a route, or, you know, route, whatever you say it. There's a route option. So I tapped that. And then I saw I could have like three other choices, but none of them were good. So I don't know. I didn't quite understand that. I'll have to try that out in other ways, other places a little bit more. And then the same is true of like the route options. You can choose to avoid ferries, which there are none here in the desert. Toll roads, we don't have those either, or freeways. But those were the only three choices. I think there was one other choice, and I can't remember what it was. And I don't have a screenshot of it for the other two. But they were the same between Apple Maps and Google Maps. So let's see. Is there anything else? What else? I can't think of any other features. They both rerouted. Like if I was following the directions, but then like, for example, I was like, I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to go this way. It did reroute. So they both reroute. There's also, you can report things. Now there wasn't anything to report when I was testing it with Apple Maps and Google Maps, but while I was driving in Waze, it wanted to know if I needed to stay still there or not there, potholes that were on the highway. And I just thought, why are we reporting potholes on the highway? Because I don't know. But anyway, there's pothole reports and accidents. But Apple Maps, I know that will do that on your phone. If the traffic is slowing up and you're like, there's an accident, it'll want to know if it's still there or if it's been cleared. And then, yeah, that's all of my screenshots that I took from my notes. There is a split view in all three of them where you can see what you're playing, whether it's podcast or music that you're listening to. In my instance, I have the calendar, so it shows me what the next event or appointment is. And let's see, there's also, I did like the exits that it was talking about in Waze. I liked that it showed me, you know, which exit number very clearly, how long I had to go. I didn't notice that with the other two because I wasn't on the highway at the time. So I'm still going to be probably, I don't know, I'm just not as, I had been a little bit more hopeful about Google Maps, thinking that it would be a better experience than Apple Maps just because they've been at it for so much longer. And I was kind of surprised that I wasn't like impressed. I wasn't more impressed. I thought I would have been. There it is on the report page. There's traffic, police, crash, hazard, blocked lane, bad weather, map issue. And I have a feeling that there's going to be more choices and ways than there are on the other two. So we'll have to see. So that is my overview of the three so far. If there's more features that get added, of course, I'll add that. But I said I was going to report back on this. And so I am here to report back on maps, apps in CarPlay.
Okay. So, Melissa, if listeners want to get in touch with you and share with us their favorite map apps, how would they do so?
Yeah, I'd really dig it if you could contact us and let me know what features you like or what features you've discovered. There's a variety of ways. We have our website. You can go to geekishshowever.com and you can click on the contact tab. We also have email. You could email us podcast@geekishshowever.com. And if you figure out a way to do that in the car very easily, let me know. I have multiple email addresses, and the one that I have set as my default is not the one that I use the most. So I don't know. Is there a shortcut or something that we could set up? Have you ever used shortcuts from Apple CarPlay? That I'd be interested in knowing about. So hit us up. That's how you can contact us on our website and with our email. And then you can also squawk at us over on the socials. And where are we at on socials?
So on Twitter, I am @AlisaPaselli1. The show is @geekiestshow. On Mastodon, we are @geekiestshowever at techhub.social. I am @senseidai at mastodon.social. And Melissa is themacmommy.com for all things Melissa.
That's me.
We want to thank you so much for listening. We will be back again in a few weeks. And until then, please stay safe. We'll be right back.